Welcome to SaaS Unlocked, the place where we get to hear from the amazing founders and entrepreneurs across the globe. Let me introduce you to Jacob, a trailblazer in podcasting industry. He founded Resonate Recordings, a business that has helped over 3,000 podcasters. Wow, Jacob. And worked with over 16 podcasts that hit number one on Apple Podcasts. Now, Jacob has launched his second company. Congratulations, man. Resound, a podcast creator tool powered by AI that automates the editing process. This is really big help to me as well. Allowing creators to focus on their message. Let's explore this with Jacob. Welcome to the show, Jacob.
Hey, thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Your story is very inspiring because usually people take a route. Entrepreneurship is something that they begin after maybe doing a couple of internships, but you started after your education. So how did you start your journey? What inspired you? And maybe you want to share your backstory.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. So yeah, it kind of started out, I would say, somewhat by an accident in some ways. So I had a degree in audio recording, really didn't know what I was going to do with my life. Myself and a friend who also had a degree in audio helped a couple of friends with some recording projects. And then we had someone else who asked us, hey, can you help me with my podcast? Help me edit my podcast. And so we're like, yeah, absolutely. We'll help with that. So we started doing that as a side hustle. At the time, I was working in the healthcare industry, still kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I remember saying to my friend, I was like, hey, this works really well. Like, we should consider starting a business. So we started out doing kind of like some demo recordings for music, for artists, sermon audio for churches, and then podcast. And the podcasting thing just really started to take off and really saw an opportunity there. And so, yeah, in 2017, I decided to go all in on that. I remember telling my wife, I feel like there's this huge wave in the podcast industry. If I don't jump now, you know, I'm going to miss this big wave. And so I just went all in on it, and it really started to grow by word of mouth. It was scary at the time, just like, I'm quitting my day job to go do this. But I was like, what's the worst thing that can happen? I go back to my and get another day job, you know, it doesn't work. And yeah, honestly, I could never, looking back, like, that's something that I don't regret, is jumping in, taking that risk. I had a family at the time too. Two of my three kids were born at that point. And so it was a bit scary. And right after I left my job, I found out that my wife and I found out we were pregnant with our third kid. And we're like, what? Wow. How are we going to do this? So, so the first company, Resonate Recordings, was fully bootstrapped, really a podcast production agency, really taking, you know, my audio engineering expertise and helping podcasters create high quality shows. You know, the editing component is something that requires a lot of time for a lot of people and sometimes limits people from sharing their message with the world or being able to share it as much as they want to share it. So yeah, that's how I started Resonate.
Not every creator has like resource, which is like having a team member or virtual assistant, which is kind of helping them like edit it. And seeing that you just founded a Resound and that is going to help automate the process, what inspired it to create this product and how it is helping the podcasters around the globe?
Yeah, great question. So at Resonate, you know, as we grew our team, I started hiring other audio engineers. And like initially, you know, as an entrepreneur, I'm sure you know, you wear all the hats. So I'm editing audio, I'm doing our marketing, doing our sales, hopping on sales calls, doing customer support. And so as we grew our team, I kind of moved into like more of that leadership role and really kind of figured it out trial by fire. Got thrown into the deep end there, I would say. Mm-hmm. I'd never managed anyone until Resonate. And, you know, as we started kind of building out the team, we started saying like, how can we automate? How can we streamline the process? And so we started building our own software. We started with just a production or a project management kind of platform software that allows our users to upload their files, communicate with our team, and just automate that process. Replaced Dropbox for us, which was very clunky and didn't serve us well. We built our own hosting, our own remote recorder tool. And then I started kind of, you know, just brainstorming with our software team of like, hey, is there a way we can automate the editing? You know, I edited a lot of podcasts and it spent a lot of time. And, you know, specifically like the ums and ahs are one of the most like tedious things you have to edit out of podcasts. I'm sure you'll hear me say that several times in this show or whatever the filler words are. And so, yeah, we decided to start trying to build a machine learning model just for our team internally to automate, because our audio engineers, you know, are spending 3 to 4 hours for about 1 hour of audio editing. And so we're like, can we automate this? Hired a machine learning engineer, started training our first model in 2019, I think it was. And the first one worked. It was like a transcription based. And we were like, hey, this is a huge opportunity here. And so we decided to spin it out as its own thing. And I think, you know, seeing how much initially, even as many errors as there were, or as many issues as I saw with the first model, I saw the potential and was like, this is a tool that can serve a lot of creators. You know, the reality is 44% of podcasters have 3 or less episodes, and it's hard to get one started. Like, there's production, there's show notes, all the admin and stuff. And so, yeah, we decided to just make it available to the world. We spun out that company as a C Corp in 2021. And then we raised venture backing in 2022 and kind of went all in on this. And now we're, you know, training we're on version 0.5 right now of our model and continuing to improve the model with each, you know, as time goes on, and really excited about the opportunities there. And we're using audio in, audio out data, which allows us to just be a lot more precise on the boundaries, on the accuracy of the model. And it, you know, it serves someone like an audio professional at Resonate, but it also serves an individual podcaster that just needs a tool that can help save them time and hopefully money as well.
So when you talk about time, money, and basically ease of like editing podcasts, how easy or like what steps are involved for any creator to use your platform? Like let's say from A to Z, how much time would you take for 30 minutes podcast editing?
Yeah, great question. So it's, you know, we've really designed it so it's as simple as possible. So the way it works, you log in, you can sign up for free. So we have a free plan on the platform and also kind of some paid plans that unlock some additional features and usage kind of levels and whatnot. So you log in, you simply upload your file. We can take multi-track files as well. So, you know, if you're recording your tracks separately and in an interview, we'll keep your tracks together and edit them and sync them up and whatnot. So you upload your files, it processes in a matter of typically seconds, maybe a minute at the most or two. And then once it's ready to go, you can, you know, review your episode. So basically we have it where you can cut, keep, or adjust each of the edits that we identify. Right now, we just have the ums and ahs, but as we continue to build out new models, we'll have additional things that we recognize, such as repeats, long pauses, filler words, like, you know, those type of things. So once you review those edits, you click export and it's ready to go. You can export as an MP3, a WAV, or an AAF. And the AAF is more for the audio professionals who want to do additional production in like a Pro Tools or Adobe, because you can open the edits in that digital audio workstation and make additional edits. You know, they're non-destructive edits in the AAF file. So sorry, long answer to your question. I would say we've had creators tell us that, you know, it's like I just got an email a couple of days ago from someone. He said, hey, amazing tool. This saved me over like 90% of time editing. So
that's huge, man. Wow.
Yeah.
So I've been using, like, you know, sometimes guest is not using professional microphone, and sometimes like the quality is not like in terms of how they sound. So do also like audio enhancement, like, you know, Adobe has this free AI audio enhancer that I've been using. Is it something that is also possible with the Resound?
Great question. So that is on our roadmap. You know, we've got that feature request, and I think that's one thing we're really trying to do is listen to our users, listen to our customers, and hear what are the additional features they have, they want, they would like to have. So yeah, AI mixing and mastering, you know, is kind of something separate. There are some great tools out there that already kind of solve that problem, such as Auphonic, such as Dolby, like you mentioned. So we've been in discussions with those tools of, are there possible ways we can integrate that? Mm-hmm. And we do hope to add one of those tools under the hood in the hopefully very near future.
So tell me, it's been almost 3 years you've been working on this, I guess. So how product has evolved since you started working on this?
Yeah, a lot. to initially start, we thought we were just going to build this for Resonate, for the team at Resonate, to increase productivity of our audio engineers. And so initially it was built where in our tool in Resonate, our audio engineers could click a button, it processes the raw audio, and then it spits out that AAF file that I mentioned where they can open it in Pro Tools and, do the rest of the production. So that was the first version. And then kind of as we spun it out, I think we initially thought, hey, we're going to build kind of a mobile creator tool. And so a lot of our design, a lot of our UX was around like a mobile-based approach. We were planning on doing an iOS and Android app. And the more we got into that, we just realized we're not sure this is what's best for the users. Most people don't edit podcasts on their phone. Like it would be great. And I think you can use it on your phone right now, you through a browser. So then we kind of pivoted a little bit and really said, hey, we're going to just continue to focus on the one thing that we solve. I think for me, I don't know about this, but like I experienced this at Resonate. I experienced this at Resound. There's a temptation to kind of chase all these different like rabbits, I would say, and spread your focus too thin. And so I think that's one thing I've learned is focus on doing one thing really well and then go from there. Because, as a visionary, as an entrepreneur, I'm always thinking of all these ideas. And I'm super thankful for people on my team that really help me, kind of check those and keep those in check and say, okay, like, is this a part of our main goal? Is this kind of a part of our thesis of what we're about? And so for us, like, we're really trying to focus on the AI editing component, solving that problem really well. And then, hopefully expand from there. But initially we were thinking, we're going to be an anchor competitor. We're going to be a Descript competitor. And now we're like, no, actually, they're probably going to be customers of Resound.
Great thinking. When it comes to entrepreneurship, you talk about ideas. And, what inspired me to create and select this brand name, which is Insidia. When I was growing up, around like I was 13, 14, so I was having a lot of ideas. And like since early age, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. That was like something I was passionate about, right? You had these ideas, and bringing these ideas into reality is action that I took, right? So what tips you would give other fellow aspiring entrepreneurs who are looking to launch a successful product?
Yeah. Oh man, that is a great question. I think it sounds so simple, but I would just say go for it, take the risk. There's going to be so many people that tell you, all the potential issues, all the potential things. And I think, I know for me in the past, I can operate out of fear or anxiety a lot more than, or kind of let those voices in my head dictate how I act. And so I think my advice would be be true to yourself, trust your instincts, trust your gut. And if you believe that you have a great idea, go for it. What's the worst thing that can happen? I know resources can often be a hard thing to come with. So I think that's a broader discussion of are you going to bootstrap? Are you going to get some funding? Are you going to, how are you going to start? Is it going to start as a side hustle? I mean, for me, that was Resonate for 3 years was a side hustle in my basement. And it was a really hard season. I'm working a 40 plus hour job in the healthcare industry. I'm coming home in the evening. I have a family. And then I'm going in the basement and I'm editing audio and trying to get Resonate off the ground. And so that was really hard, but it has its, trade-offs. It's like, okay, that was a lower risk for a season. So I would just say take the step one day at a time. You're not going to go to zero to a million in one day or 1 week, more than likely. Maybe you will. And if you do, congratulations. But I would just say, just be consistent. Start small, but also take big risk. I think with big risk come big rewards often. So,
or the worst case, you will fail, and eventually you'll have that learning for the next time. So thank you for sharing that. You know, there are a lot of entrepreneurs. Yeah. You want to
I was just going to say, you hit on something that I think we don't talk about enough in this, in, or I don't hear enough is like failure. You know, I mean, I think there are so many things you learn through failures. And like you said, there's so many lessons and things you can grow in. And, you know, we've had a couple, like we started a original content company, Black Mountain Media. And I wouldn't say it was a failure, but you know, we had to pivot on it and it didn't go exactly how we planned. And like, we learned a lot about that. You know, we had a number one show in all of Apple that we created, but also it was really hard and it didn't go as planned all the time. And so, you know, and for every success, I mean, even at Resonate, even at Resound, like I can look back and say, there's so many quote unquote failures that we've experienced. And those have been some of the biggest learning experiences, I would say, for me personally. And like you said, it really allows you to just grow. So I think it's like, hey, either way, you're successful, you're a failure, like you're going to learn, you're going to grow. And you keep going from there and you're better for it.
Yeah, I think failures are all like part of the success journey. It's not the other way around. And I personally feel that you should accept failures as in open arms and welcome them, because at the end of the day, when you want to be successful, these teachings, like, you know, the 10 years, let's say I worked on something, I failed more times than I succeeded. So there will be almost 100 days I will fail, and then there will be one day that I'll succeed. So that's how the journey is. So thank you for sharing that, Jacob.
Absolutely.
Going back to the industry that you are in, like, you know, what trends you are seeing in this podcasting industry that could affect the way like the business or the creators operate in, let's say, next 3 years from now?
Yeah, great question. I would say number one, and I don't think I'm saying this just because I'm in a AI company, but I think AI is so hot right now. And, you know, we started Resound kind of before AI went viral. And again, I would say maybe it's gold luck. Rush. Right place, right time. Sometimes that's what happens. But, you know, I think you're going to continue to see like people implementing AI tools to serve them, to help them be more productive. In podcasting, you know, I think there, it's another conversation, but like, I think there's going to continue to be a need for humans. You know, how we've built Resound is not to replace audio engineers. It's literally to serve audio engineers and complement and help them streamline their process. And we have a lot of freelance audio editors that are using Resound, you know, and they're editing podcasts 40 plus hours a week, and hope, you know, Resound helps save them hours a week. So I think you're going to continue to see more. I mean, there's some great tools out there for like transcriptions, for show notes, for all types of things. So I think you're going to just continue to see those tools mature. Like I said earlier, 44% of podcasters quit after their third episode. And so I really think what AI is going to do, I think it's going to continue to lower the barrier to entry. I mean, that's one of the things I love about podcasting, is anyone can get their voice out. Anyone can share their message with the world. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because it's not like there's just one gatekeeper, you know, like there is in radio, maybe, or, you know, there are multiple radio or TV or whatever. It's a lot harder. And so I love that there already is such a low barrier to entry. Anyone can start a podcast, but you get into it and it's really hard. And so I think the AI tools are going to continue to enable more people to get into the space, to feel like, oh, I can do this. I don't have to spend a ton of time. There's different things that can help me, that can automate. And I think as those tools continue to mature, you're going to see more and more podcasters continue to grow in that. The other thing I'll say is the monetization. Like, figuring out monetization is so hard, and there's not like a one size fits all. And I think from experience, like no one does a good job with monetizing podcasting, right? It's like the hosting, those companies are very mature. There's a lot of great ones out there, which is a little bit of a simpler problem, in my opinion. Remote recording, you're seeing a ton of great tools continuing to mature there. But specifically with monetization, like, it's still no one's figured it out. No one's kind of like, hey, I got this figured out. This is a great model. And I don't know, maybe that's because there's a lot of different ways. Like, you don't have to monetize necessarily and make money off your show. A lot of people just use their podcast as a branded show and don't don't have a pot, you know, it, and it is one of the most effective ways to get your message out there and most affordable. So I don't know. I think it'll continue to stay like an indie industry, where anyone can get their message out there. But I'm hopeful that, again, just as the tools continue to mature and people kind of figure it out, it's easier, because that's for monetization and like just figuring out how to do ads well. Because again, I personally, my opinion, I don't feel like anyone's done it well yet.
There are a few aspects to it, though. Firstly, I will like go back to your first point, which is like creating content today with AI is easier than ever before. I remember like just going last year when I was like creating LinkedIn Lives, preparation was taking like tedious tasks to work on the questions, introductions, and everything. I just gave a brief about Jacob, and AI wrote me an amazing introduction, right? And he also came up with questions that I asked Jacob. So I just need to be there and ask Jacob on how he can add value to this podcast. It's easier than ever before, right? Similarly, yeah. When I'm doing any video, AI will write a video script for me. And maybe also newsletter after I want to promote this podcast to the audience. So everything is done with just click of a button, which is like incredible. So we are in a dream world, I would say. that is like ideal for any content creators in terms of monetization. So there are a few aspects to it. So most of the creators are making revenue from ads, let's say, for example, on YouTube or other advertisements they're getting from the sponsors. The second, let's say, for example, I'm doing this podcast. I'm not making money from the podcast, but for me, this podcast is a way to connect with founders who are ideal target audience to my business, right? So at the end of the day, if I am able to build repo with the founders around the globe with the SaaS Unlocked podcast, automatically the business will have the brand awareness that we want to create. So it will eventually impact your revenue in your business, but not from the podcast. So again, as a marketing activity. So I think you hit the answer very well. And I think this future, next 3-5 years, I think it's going to be incredible with AI.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And
yeah, go ahead.
I mean, there's so many different ways. And I mean, candidly, maybe that's one of the great reasons why there's not just like a one size fits all for monetization, because like you said, so many businesses we've worked at that resonate are using their podcast more as a branded podcast to connect with other, you know, founders or other potential like leads or prospects. But then also we've had a lot of shows, like even big companies we've worked with at Resonate, that are doing internal podcasts, and you know, it's a very effective way to engage their employees, and whether it's training, HR. I mean, we had one company, that did one on like ethics and compliance, you know, and we kind of did like an investigative true crime podcast. And they said, this was the most like employee engagement we've ever had of any learning and internal learning initiative through the podcast. Mm-hmm. And they're a company that's been around since the 1800s. So yeah, we were impressed with that. And I think it's a great way. I'm curious, we're using ChatGPT for that. And like, how much time did you spend historically if you like manually did that? Or even if you had someone else like help you with it?
So someone else used to help me, but it was taking at least 6 hours to actually come up with question description. And then like, you know, this it was like LinkedIn Lives that I used to do. So it was pre-webinar. And then post-webinar, in the webinar questions. Also, we used to make questions ready for the audience to ask. And like, you know, everything was taking a lot of time. And it hardly took me even like maybe 30 seconds to just like put the prompt and boom, you have it.
Yeah, so, that's amazing. That's so cool.
So the preparation times really like, you know, takes the work off in terms of coordination. And also, I think it's the best thing ever happened to me in my career. So that's why I guess people are like having a gold rush behind AI.
Oh yeah.
So that brings me to the final round of this amazing interview we've been having. It's a rapid fire round, more about your personality as an entrepreneur. So there are five questions. You can take your time, answer it like briefly or in detail, whatever you like. Name one other company and CEO that inspires you and why.
Oh my goodness. Oh, this is a great question. You know, I think probably would say Basecamp. I think some of their writings really inspired me early on before we had remote work. You know, I remember reading the book, I think it's Remote Work, but there's another book, It Doesn't Have to Be Crazy at Work. And I think, you know, they're a little bit edgy, and I just appreciate kind of their candor and, like, you know, even sometimes he's like, just thinking outside the box, I think, saying like, hey, specifically around company culture, around how you run your company, like there's a lot of freedom and you don't have to do things a certain way. And I think, I know personally, like I gleaned a lot of wisdom from them, and yeah, I really, really respect what kind of they're doing over there and just publicly how they share a lot of their things.
Amazing. What's one of the best business advice you've ever received?
Oh my goodness. I feel like I'm going to need to like stew on that one for like a week. best business advice. Wow. Oh man. I think I'm going to have to go with two of them. I would say the first one, well, yeah, the first one's from one of my co-founders, Mark Minery. So he was kind of a business mentor to me early on whenever I first started resonating. He had another business that he was running. And I remember him saying, like, trust but verify. Like that was helpful to say. And another saying he also says is like, you know, trust your gut, because oftentimes you can like overanalyze things. And then the other thing I would say is, you know, just like it's not really business advice, but I think here recently, like I've been working with a business coach. His name's Andy, and he has a company called Pursue Whole. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's big on just like really caring for yourself and taking care of like understanding your own needs, desires. And I think that's key. Like, I think, you know, so many leaders that can feel lonely at the top, you can feel like, you know, you are just going and thinking about that. And sometimes you don't just stop and slow down and like care for your own needs, care for your own desires. And I think just the whole like mental health, like, you know, there, it's all connected, right? Like physically you need to take care of yourself, mentally, I would say also spiritually, like for me, and I think they're all connected, you know? And so I think, just going through coaching with him, it's not one specific piece, but through that, I've been able to really care for myself. And I think through that, as a leader, if you care for yourself, you're going to be able to care for other people better, and care for those around you and those close to you that you love even better. And I think that for me is something that's really important.
On that note, there's something that is required. So this entrepreneurship is a roller coaster, right? You have like sometimes big highs and sometimes you have big lows with something going on, something challenging that is hard to solve. And although you're trying to keep balance, but there's something that is pushing you, right? So at the end of the day, to run a successful business, what motivates you the most?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, it's building something that has a positive impact on the world, that, you know, I really enjoy helping other people to like achieve their goals and achieve their dreams. And so internally with our company culture, like I care deeply about empowering our people, helping them grow individually and really, you know, setting them up for success to do what they want to do. And so I really value like transparency and open communication. There's no conversation that's off limits in my mind. And, you know, I think that really motivates me, is like the impact that we're making as a company, but also the impact on individuals that work at the companies that we're building.
Thank you for sharing that. So there's one question, which is also like my favorite question, which is, what is one movie or a book or TV show that changed your life?
I'm sure there will be something. Wow. Oh, one book, movie, or TV show. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I think book, I would say, is Five Voices. It's kind of this concept, and you can probably see it on my bookshelf behind there somewhere. It's a blue one, but it was really helpful for me. Just I think the other tool I would say it's been really helpful is the Enneagram. Like I really like the Enneagram, and I think just self-awareness, understanding yourself, who you are, what makes you tick, and that people are different, right? And so the concept of the Five Voices books is we all have different voices, different like so-called volumes in our voices as we speak. And I think their kind of thesis is like, in order like to be the most healthy company, like you need all these different types of voices represented. And I realized like my voice is really loud, but there are people that voice, they're not going to be as quick to share their opinion. They're not going to be as quick to share their thoughts or their feedback. And I always am like, hey, if you have a differing opinion and you don't share it with me, even though I'm the leader, like you're doing a disservice to me. You're doing a disservice to the team. Because if we talk about this different opinion and discuss it and come to a conclusion, like we're better for it, no matter where we go, we've still thought through it more thoroughly. And so that book was really helpful of even just recognizing like, hey, some people, sometimes I need to probe or maybe hold my opinion back and not be so quick to speak and let others that have a so-called like quieter voice speak. And also to just make sure that they feel safe to share their opinions and share their ideas. One other piece of advice and kind of thing that Mark, my co-founder, shared is like, you know, we told our team, hey, we want you to think of your work at Resonate as working with a pencil with a big ass eraser, right? Not a permanent marker. If you make a mistake, that's okay. Like we talked about earlier, like that's sometimes how we learn and grow the best, is through our mistakes. And so if you make a mistake, like don't be ashamed of it, you know, come to us, like we want to help you. You have an eraser. We can help you with that. We can bring our eraser too. It's not a permanent marker. It's not something that you can't undo. And so I love this. Yeah. That's huge.
So being an entrepreneur, this is the last and the final question. Being an entrepreneur, you need to sell yourself, right? What is one advice or a tip that you would give to aspiring fellow entrepreneurs who wants to win with people? How do you win with people?
Oh, man. I mean, for us, you know, I did sales at Resonate for a while. And I think for me, it's just like, being authentic is really important, but also I think caring, like just genuinely caring about helping people, you know, believing in what you have and being honest. Like if your product or your service isn't a great fit for them, like don't oversell it. Don't like high pressure sales, at least for me, like doesn't work. That's a big turnoff. And so if you truly believe in what you have, which I think most people that start a company do, like, just be honest, just be yourself, be authentic, and genuinely care. You know, at Resonate, if someone comes and they're looking for a podcast, like we really try to get to know them and understand their needs and see how we can support them. We're not just trying to like fit them into a box and say, you know, sell them something they don't need. I mean, we say sometimes like, hey, we may not be a great fit for you. And I think sometimes that is, that makes people want it more, like candidly, you know? And sometimes I think, you know, we put too much pressure on ourselves just individually. And so take the pressure off, take a deep breath, be yourself, be authentic, be honest and care about people. Like that would be my advice.
You are so right. You know, there was a recent example. I remember the date, it was 5th of April that I had one meeting. It was a client base out of New York. And he reached out to me through LinkedIn and he wanted help with specific technology that he wanted to hire in India. And like usually we have talent in-house, which caters, but that was something more specific. And I said, look, it can happen, but it will take at least 3 to 4 weeks for me to recruit such talent for you. And he wanted something immediate. And eventually, like, you know, although we didn't close for that, and I was like, you know, being transparent, I could have said, okay, I'll find you someone next week. It doesn't happen, right? So I was honest. And he literally, like, you know, reached out to me like 4 days after, and he said, like, let's start with something else that you already have. And we started doing business together. And then he eventually, like, started working on hiring that specific talent he was looking for. So, you know, setting up the right expectation is truly important in doing business. So I completely agree on that part. Sometimes it takes time to learn this specific thing of setting the right expectation, but it goes a really long way.
Yeah.
That brings add on.
I was just going to say, I appreciate you sharing that example. And yeah, it's, I don't know about you, but for me, it's sometimes hard because I'm like, I want to sell this. I want to like be, you know, there's a temptation there for me of like, yeah, we can do that. We'll figure it out on the back end. And I think, you know, you could have done that, but then if he had a bad experience through that and you didn't live up to the expectations that you set forward, like, what would that have done? And instead being honest with him, like you've probably gained a lifetime customer there. And you built that trust, that rapport there, just by genuinely being honest and being yourself and caring.
I think that really goes a long way, and people can relate to it. Like, people can really easily smell salesmanship, or you're trying to sell hard, or you are making false promises. Maybe it will be okay in that specific sales call, but they'll figure it out, and you won't have that recurring revenue that you've been looking for. So that comes to the end of the session. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jacob. It was really insightful, fun conversation with you. And we hope that audience have gained some important advice and insights from you. So thank you so much for joining.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and honored to be on here.
Thank you, Jacob. Until next time, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. This is Pratik Thakkar, SaaS Unlock, signing off.